Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to the OMG MotoGP podcast, OMG Extra. This is your extra dose of MotoGP chat for the week ahead of the racing this weekend in Phillip Island with myself, Harry Benjamin, and of course, former Grand Prix rider and British champion, Keith Ewan. Thank you so much for all the lovely comments from our last show about Stuart Higgs. What a fantastic man. So what a fantastic episode. If you haven't watched or listened to that, go back and do it. You will notice that we didn't really talk about Indonesia. That's what we're going to do now, and then look forward to Australia as well. So we'll pick back up. Keith, I mean, where do we start, really? I mean, Jorge Martin had the title lead for probably the shortest amount of time ever.
24 hours, yeah. It was unfortunate for him, wasn't it? But it was one of those ones where that racetrack, because it's got no real use, brand new, hardly used for anything other than, you know, the Grand Prix, there was a basically a rubbered in line, and that was it. And if you got, you know, half a yard off line or picked up any gravel or whatever, or any dust or dirt or whatever it might have been, it was a problem. Plus, it was excruciatingly hot, 60 degrees of track temperature. That always just the emulsification of everything that's in the tarmac and bubbles to the top and makes it a bit tricky. But I love the post-race comments by Jorge Lorenzo, 5 times a world champion, he will tell you. And of course, he's absolutely quite right. A real legend and one of the original aliens. I wrote it down. Jorge Lorenzo, Bagnaia didn't win the race. Jorge Martin lost the race. And it's a good point. You know, I think Jorge Lorenzo was taking exception to the celebrations that were going on in the Ducati camp for the race winner, Bagnaia. But of course, I don't think it was as much a celebration, as much as relief, in my view. You know, the fact was that they grabbed their 25 points and Jorge Martin scored none. Don't expect that to last much longer because it's going to be a scrap right to the end now. I mean, that's okay. So what have we got? 18 points different.
Do you think that this isn't going to be suddenly we're going to see the Jorge Martin of old where he was crashing, injuring himself quite a lot? Because, of course, this is the first big mistake.
No, I don't think we're going to see that. You've only got to look at... I went through the stats this morning because, obviously, mindful of where we are. If you look at the last, what, 3 or 4 rounds, I mean, Jorge Martin has been the head and shoulders above everyone else on scoring. He's been really, really right up there. Bagnaia, you know, since he got run over, you know, perhaps Catalunya, I think that was, that maybe he's been a bit off colour. But to come from where he came from to win that race was absolutely outstanding. And you can understand why Ducati were pleased because he's back on it. And this weekend at Phillip Island, again, weather dependent to some extent. Phillip Island is a tricky old racetrack. But I think that you know, I think Jorge Lorenzo, another comment he made, keep your enemy calm, don't piss him off, was another phrase that he made as well. I think that's quite valid. I mean, I think all riders, even though they won't admit to it, focus on somebody that they absolutely want to beat for whatever reason it is. You will not want somebody to beat you. We're going to see a bit of that in Phillip Island as well. The Australians always do something special in Australia. They just raise their game. It is like, you know, like breathing. Jack Miller, I expect, will be somewhere thereabouts this weekend where he hasn't been for a while. Mm-hmm. But I think that pissing off Jorge Martin with a little bit overly enthusiastic celebrations might just poke the bear, if you like, and we might see Jorge Martin fighting back straight away. I mean, Bagnaia is a good rider, and we'll see about that. It, it, would have been smart to keep a lower profile, is what Jorge Lorenzo had to say as well. So there was quite a lot of comment coming from Jorge Lorenzo, and it was interesting to read into it what he was saying. So Bagnaia, I think Bagnaia is back on it. Phillip Island is going to be a track that Bagnaia goes well at, Jorge Martin too. It's just a question of who else you're going to put around them for the points. It's going to be about spoilers as well. It's going to be about injury. You know, anybody that picks up an injury at this point in the season could lose this championship. And bearing in mind how hard they're having to try early on, Mandalika was difficult. It was a difficult racetrack from a point of view of it was very, very hot, debilitating heat, humid, massively hot track temperature. You know, maybe a yard and a half racing line around there. If you got it wrong, you were on the floor as Martin found out. But in Phillip Island, different kettle of fish.
Well, you talk about who else might be around them this weekend. VR46, those boys did rather well, didn't they, last time out in Indonesia? And of course, off the back of this new title sponsorship deal as well that Valentino Rossi has secured for the team, it's all looking rather nice down there.
Yeah, the collarbone kids, as we know them, when we were at the Mandalika. I mean, obviously, setting pole as Marini did. Bezecchi riding brilliantly a week after having that thing pinned. But again, Phillip Island's a tough racetrack. You know, there's a lot of work to be done around Phillip Island. It's going to be interesting to see whether any of those niggling injuries create a problem for them as we get going throughout there. And it's an easy place to make a mistake as well, as many often do. So it's a difficult racetrack. It's a great racetrack. If we have good weather, which again,
well, I have just had a look. I've had a look at the weather. Chance of rain Saturday and Sunday.
And it can change. I mean, if it blows from the South Pole, you're going to be freezing your nuts off. If it blows from inland, it's quite a bit warmer. And the worst thing I ever did was I went out, I thought, we're going to be in Australia. I'll take my bloody shorts and a pair of Speedos or whatever. And no, I don't, by the way.
Hey, I didn't say anything.
But I'll take some shorts with me and put a couple of T-shirts in the bag. And I got there and it was absolutely blowing a gale and freezing. I remember Julian Ryder saying to me, this is good. This is warm for Phillip Island. So it is a very, very difficult place from that point of view. They don't call one corner Siberia for no reason. It is freezing bloody cold. So tyre-wise, it's going to be tricky for them as well. If you've got a bit of wet weather in there, it's going to be tricky. This is not an easy racetrack. It's a classic racetrack. I mean, it's, you know, you don't get a big crowd there. They are hardy, you know, properly hardy. It's a bit like the Northwest 200 in Northern Ireland, you know, like you don't know whether you're going to get sunshine or rain or hail or whatever you're going to get. It reminds me a bit of a road circuit type environment from a spectator's point of view. That, you know, they are properly covered up and in the wind. It's a, you know, you expect a Yeti to appear from anywhere at any time. But like I say, if the wind changes and it comes up from the South Pole, from Tasmania or wherever it is, it changes. I remember a race there, I think it was Cal Crutso who was he leading it? He was certainly in the top three. And the temperature dropped about 10 degrees mid-race. And they'd got an asymmetric tyre on. And we got asymmetric tyre on. Yeah, they had, I think. And one side was harder than the other. And basically, it just didn't work when it got to a certain temperature. And into one of the hairpins, I think it was Honda. And down he went. I mean, it can change like that. And we will be seeing some of that if the weather changes mid-race, mid-session, mid-day, whatever it might be. Phillip Island, tricky track. Great track, but tricky.
Well, somebody who had a rather good run of it and maybe will be hoping for a better run this weekend as well is a man we've not spoken much about this season. He's lost his seat to Marc Marquez, Fabio Di Gianantonio. Best result, fourth. At last time out in Indonesia. It's funny what being sacked can do for a rider.
Well, again, we've seen it before with some riders. I mean, it just takes the pressure off, doesn't it? You just do your best and move forward to wherever you're going to go. So, Digi, shame for him, but not unexpected in the circumstances. It's a cutthroat market out there, and it's all about business.
You know, where do you see him going?
Good question at the moment. That's a very good question. His management is going to be working hard. Whatever it is, it ain't going to be as good as where he is. Let's put it that way. From a rider's point of view, it's going to be a step back and gather his thoughts up and get himself back on the list, if you like. We'll wait and see. There's a lot of great riders coming through. Some manufacturers are oversubscribed, and that is the problem as well. When you've got the likes of Marc Marquez moving camps, Yeah, I see all sorts of things with people saying that Marc Márquez is going to win the championship next year as well. I don't see it like that. It's going to be very interesting to see how that shapes up from the get-go next year. I'm sorry, we should be talking about Mandalika and Phillip Island, but I think all eyes still are looking towards Marc Márquez, aren't they? I mean, we're all, you know, what we'd give to see Marc Márquez on a Ducati this coming weekend at Phillip Island.
I am just a bit nervous, though, that if he does get on it, it's just going to be, it's already a little bit, you know, there are lots of comments that came in from our chat with Stuart Higgs earlier in the week. MotoGP has become a little bit like the Ducati Cup, and then suddenly you put the best rider on one of the best, on the best manufacturer, and suddenly he's going to be away and gone.
It's about great racing. Yes, Marc Márquez is, as we used to say, an alien. He's something a little bit special, and he might shock us all with some very dramatic riding, racing. I just believe things have moved on a little bit, and I want to see whether Mark is the same Mark that we knew when he was in his pomp with Honda. I've got a niggling feeling not. We'll see. You know, we need him in it. We need him fighting. It would almost be better if the Gresini bike isn't quite as good as the others, just to see what he can do incrementally on a Ducati.
It was good. That and all of that is to come, not until next season. So we still got a championship to wrap up this year as well, which is going to go to the bitter end, I think. But looking forward to this weekend, from a Yamaha perspective, Fabio Quartararo, two podiums in the last three races. I think he said that Mandalika was the best podium he's achieved this year. These are good signs. I know it's not always straightforward out and out pace, but it's progression.
Phillip Island's a rider's circuit. It's what, you know, there aren't too many people that I can think of that that don't love Phillip Island. Weather-wise, I'm not so sure whether that's as popular, but he could go well, but you've got a very fast final corner onto a very fast straight with a very fast court for turn one. Doohan's is like the frightening corner. The turn one at Phillip Island is something a little bit special. Going to be interesting to see whether he can make that Yamaha work, but he's always going to have a Ducati underneath him going up towards Doohan's. And that, I think his single lap pace for qualifying and the like could be quite good. You know, and you need to qualify. You need to get yourself sorted out. But by the time we've gone for the first time through Doohan's down to the Southern Loop, he's going to have Ducatis all over him. And that is the problem you've got on a bike that isn't quite as quick as it needs to be. It's almost there, and he's doing a great job with it. But we'll see. I mean, yes, he's coming off the back of some very, what's the word we're looking for? Encouraging races. Let's see what happens. Yeah.
Let's
I haven't got
see
him in
happens.
The top three, though.
No, well, we'll come on to our predictions because I can't believe we forgot our predictions last time. Can you believe it? But we'll definitely get to that. Let's look at Phillip Island then. So, I mean, you've given us a little insider guide as to what the track holds, and you know it is a rider's track for sure, but what about the area in general? I mean, I've never been there. You know, what's it like off the track and in the surrounding areas?
It is literally, it's like they call it an island because you need to get over a bridge at San Remo to get onto the island. Jonathan Ray is where his wife Tash is from, actually. He's got a house down there. Jonathan Ray, you know, six-time world superbike champion, he's got a house on Phillip Island. But it
even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
It is country. We are talking about, it is the end of the earth. It's like 2.5 hours out of Melbourne, if you're driving. you fly into Melbourne, you drive down to Phillip Island. Very little in the way of exotic infrastructure, if you like. I think the Melbourne glitterati, obviously holiday down there. You've got, I think it's Silverwater is an estate of like holiday homes and the like. There's quite a lot of holiday homes down there. And there's a lot of Airbnb, bed and breakfast type places that a lot of bikers rent. You know, they're all in bungalows and houses. Everybody rents out their houses when they're down there. Very small crowd, really. I've got to say, they're hardy. As I said earlier on, the weather is always, at least one of the days, is going to be windy and wet. That's almost
well,
for sure.
Just seeing wind gusts might reach as high as 80 kilometers an hour on
and it
the
makes
Sunday.
A big difference. Yeah, it's hugely different. I mean, stability is going to be something. It was one of the tracks that I remember. I think it was Bradley Smith, the British rider in Grand Prix back then, that was one of the first to really complain about aero. You know, down that long, fast straight going down towards Doohan's, you didn't have control over the bike. The aero was moving you around all over the place, and that can be an issue. We've seen it on a lot of tracks. The final corner, I've already said it, is very, very, very fast indeed, coming out onto the Gardiner straight, start and finish straight, down towards Doohan's corner. But there are some spectacular, I mean, Stoner's Corner. They've got Stoner's Corner, of course, as well, which is a spectacular sideways on. I don't know why they called it the Gardiner Straight. If I'd been Wayne Gardner, I'd have wanted a corner calling after me rather than, you know, the actual straight. It doesn't sound good enough for the life of Gardner.
I suppose Hamilton got a straight at Silverstone, didn't he? That the old pits is now the Hamilton Straight, and what was the old MotoGP pits now. Sorry. Sorry.
I can't get that interesting.
That's all I can add to that.
fair enough. But bearing in mind that, if we're going to make an analogy, I suppose, like Hamilton is an absolute legend here in Formula One, Wayne Gardner was an absolute legend in Australia because he was the first Aussie to batter everybody when it came to a world title. And if you'd seen some of the races that Wayne Gardner had around Phillip Island, you would understand what I'm on about. Have a look back through YouTube. There'll be plenty there. And Gardner was one of those guys, unlike Doohan, who was just mega talented. Gardner was just a gritty, tough. He was obviously talented on a motorbike, but he was gritty and tough and would go beyond his capabilities quite often, which often hurt. And I just used to love watching Wayne Gardner. And he was a bit like it off track as well. You wouldn't have put him down as the brightest tool in the shed, that's for sure. Although in later life, he's done very well in business and the like as well. So he obviously wasn't quite as dim as I'd probably got him made out to be. Wayne and I were quite competitive in the British Championship back in the day. But I've always had this, I've always liked Wayne, and we get on quite well now as well. And he's had his troubles, he's had his trauma over life. But that sounds like a podcast in the future, maybe, with Wayne.
Watch the film.
He's got a film that's out called Wayne. Anybody that hasn't seen it yet. And there is a film about Wayne Gardner out there.
Okay.
I ought to be the film critic, really, hadn't I, on this podcast?
We did a little Keith's film section.
What else at Phillip Island?
Do we know?
Not too bad to get into, not too bad to get out of. Fairly well organised from that point of view. Spectacular. If you can stand the cold, you know, you can go and watch at some corners that they are really, really good to watch at. Victorian police, it is a nanny state in Victoria. It's got to be said. I know, and I get slammed for it every time. But the word of advice would be, if you ever go down there, stick to the speed limit. Don't jaywalk, as they say in America. Walk one side of the white lines. If somebody's telling you that you've got to walk on the path, walk on the path. Because when you're dealing with difficult Aussie policemen or difficult Aussie paddock people, you might as well just toe the line and do what they say, because they're going to push and shove. Parking at the track is tricky. And if it's wet, you can find yourself, when you go back to your car, it's sitting in the middle of a pond. So park on the high ground, folks, if you're there.
Do we know much about rider movement yet for this weekend? Do we know if who was missing last weekend? Was it Rins?
Everybody's there.
I've
got the entry list in front of me. The full 22 are there. It'll be the first time, providing everyone passes their fitness test. It'll be the first time this year since round one
that
we've had everybody on the grid. In fact, the same in Moto 2. Moto 3, we've got a couple of replacements in Moto 3. So Anna Carrasco's out. We saw her injured slightly last time. She's out. And Romano Fenati is still out as well. So Fenati's being, who's he being subbed by? Nicola Carraro on the Rivercoal Snipers team. So he'll be riding the Honda. And Vincente Perez is riding under the 21 bike. So he'll be taking over for Anna Carrasco. But they're the only subs. No wild cards. They're the only substitutes in Moto 3.
Okay.
Otherwise, the grid is as it should be.
Let's hope we do get a full grid of the original race riders that actually start a Grand Prix. Come on, then. Should we do our predictions? Let's do sprint race first. 1, 2, and 3. What are we thinking, Mr. Hewan?
That's a very good question. I've got a note here somewhere that I actually wrote because I thought I'd have a little go at that. Sprint race, Martin, Bagnaia, and Miller. There you go. That's my sprint job. I think Miller will be in the... he'll be wanting to do it for the Aussies, that's for sure. And they tend to raise their game when it comes to that. But this is going to be... there's going to be a lot of pushing and shoving around here, which is why in the Grand Prix, I've got Bagnaia, Binder, and Martin.
Okay.
Binder hit everything except the safety car last time out.
Yeah, that
on the Saturday and on the Sunday, and he's going to be aggressive again. And I think it's going to take a fair bit of aggression to get this done.
Yeah, Binder is quite bold, but he was a bit bolder than usual last time around. Okay, sprint for me is going to be Martin. Oh, I'm going to go Martin Marini and Bagnaia. And then Grand Prix, I think Martin's going to strike back. So I'm going to go another double for Martin, Bagnaia, just to be different. Let's put Vinales on the podium. Why not? Let's put Vinales on there. Off the back of his Batman celebrations.
The only trouble is with Vinales, I think in this particular circumstance, I do feel like it's going to be elbows out from the get-go. And I'm still not convinced.
But he got a good start in Indonesia, which was unusual.
It's getting flow. If you can get your flow going and you can get out there where you're not being interfered with in the nicest possible way, then Vinales, yeah. But I got a feeling that down into what is the Honda hairpin, and MG is another hairpin as well. A couple of places of pushing and shoving. Southern Loop is an opportunity to you know, several lines into there. Doohans is an absolute... honestly, Doohans is one of them. If you could shut your eyes at 200 mile an hour, you would. Yeah, I mean, it's an incredible corner. And rushing in there, we have seen some big offs there as well. So we'll be seeing a fair bit of action, that's for sure. And it's also, I remember the Australian Motor 3 Grand Prix going back in the years was my, and probably still ranks as one of my highest, watch from behind the sofa moments, because there were 15 riders that were all absolutely capable of winning it. And were all determined to try and win it. So it is a great racetrack from that point of view.
And if you do get a chance, what year was it? The Nutted the Seagull? Well, that was only a couple of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, Gavin the Seagull. I don't know why they call it Gavin. Maybe they call it after Gavin Emmett, I think, from BT. I don't know. He'd got a lot of beak. I can't remember what year it was, but it was Andrea Iannone. And we've not seen Iannone in Grand Prix for some time because obviously his drugs issue. But he'll be back for World Superbikes next year. So we'll see if he's in the mood for nutting any seagulls in World Superbikes come 2024. Could be an interesting year as far as World Superbikes is concerned if he's back in it. Maniac Joe, as he was known, Crazy Joe for a while, but Maniac Joe was his own designated nickname over the years. And yes, he was unfortunate that as he appears over the top of the hill down into the hairpin, there was a seagull nonchalantly wandering about and flew straight up into his face. Interesting, TNT. BT stroke TNT retweeted that piece of commentary. That's the only time I think they've publicised my association with them for some considerable time. So obviously,
you're back in the good books, Ewan. They've seen the podcast.
I must be back in the good books.
Hello to everybody from TNT watching. he did do, like, was it the next weekend? A tribute helmet to the seagull, didn't he? And did a sort of. Nice
well, I think
touch.
The problem is, I mean, if you go back a bit, Kevin, I think it's Colin Edwards ended up with the seagull. They weigh like 5 pounds or whatever it is. They're bloody heavy. You want one in the face. I mean, we're talking about something that's you get one down the straight at 200 mile an hour and it's going to take your head off. We've had seagulls that have been a problem at Phillip Island before. So it's kind of one of those things where don't feed the seagulls. That's another, you see the signs, don't feed the seagulls because they all just come in. And yeah. They would have to stop racing if there was flocks of seagulls everywhere. Flock of seagulls, isn't that a bloody band?
Probably, from your era. We'll leave it there then, shall we? With no seagulls harmed on this occasion, but watch out for them this weekend for sure. Thank you very much, Keith Ewan. Thank you very much for watching, for listening. Enjoy the weekend wherever you are. Let us know your predictions and any questions as well. You can leave them in the comments below or you can send us an email, omgmotogp@gmail.com. Go back and have a listen or a watch to Stuart Higgs, the series director of the British Superbike Championship, which we had a good, really good chat with him earlier on in the week. So that's available on the YouTube and also to listen to on all the various audio platforms if you prefer to digest that way. Next week, I'm on my holiday, so I'm not here. But good news, I know a lot of people will be pleased to hear this. Amy Reynolds will be back in the hot seat, and Pete McLaren will be here as well. So it's an all-star cast for next week, alongside Keith as well. This has been a Motormouth Media production, so do check out our other podcasts, the Paddle Movement podcast and the Motormouth F1 podcast. And you can leave this one a review in the meantime, wherever you get your podcast. I think I've squeezed everything in there at the end. Any final words, Keith, or should we shut up now?
I think it's time to shut up, but Phillip Island, it's worth getting up for early to watch it. It really is. I mean, it's an event. So pull the fridge close to the sofa, full of beer, first thing in the morning. In fact, if you're on a night out, don't go to bed. Just stay up and watch Phillip Island, the Australian Grand Prix. You won't be disappointed.
We'll leave it there. Thank you very much. We'll see you next week. Enjoy the weekend.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.